Our gospel today is from the 10th chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 35. Glory to you, O Lord. Zebedee's children, James and John, approached Jesus. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to grant our request." "What is it?" Jesus asked. They replied, "See to it that we sit next to you, one at your right and one at your left, when you come into your glory." Jesus told them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I will drink, or be baptized in the same baptisms as I?" Are we good with the sound? Okay. "We can," they replied. Jesus said in response, From the cup I drink of, you will drink. The baptism I'm immersed in, you will share. But as for me, sitting at my right or my left, that is not mine to give. It is for those to whom it has been reserved." The other 10, on hearing this, became indignant at James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know how among the Gentiles, those who exercise authority are domineering and arrogant. Those great ones know how to make their own importance felt. But it can't be like that with you. Anyone among you who aspires to greatness must serve the rest. Whoever wants to rank first among you must serve the needs of all. The promised one has come not to be served, but to serve, to give one's life in ransom for the many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. How can I be more secure? How can I be more comfortable? How can I be happier? Or how can I be wealthier? Or how can I get ahead? How can I have more influence or prestige or respect? How can I live longer or be more beautiful or handsome? These are all questions that can drive our lives. There's many, many more. But depending upon the question that's driving your life kind of gives you the life that you get. Today's gospel, there's a question that was kind of driving James and John's life, or at least in this moment. As they were headed toward Jerusalem, let me just pause there. It's interesting. Right before this, Jesus gives in the Gospel of Mark his third prediction of his death. He says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be arrested and suffer and die and be resurrected. And right after that, James and John come up, and you can almost hear it in their minds. It's like, he's going to Jerusalem. Finally, Jesus is going to establish his kingdom. And what do they want? "Jesus, we want to sit at your right and at your left. We want to be right there at the top, at the source of the power. We want to be your right-hand man and your left-hand man." Now, it's interesting. There are many answers, I guess, Jesus might have given. It could have been, he said, "Well, here's the deal, James and John. Right now, Peter's winning. He's been much more outspoken. He's been out there. He's the one that seems to be in the lead. If you're going to sit at my right or left, you're going to have to do better. You're going to maybe you get more converts, get more folks to follow us. Or maybe if you work on your preaching and really can give a good sermon, or maybe do a few more miracles. If you just try a little bit harder and show me that you're better, that you can be greater, then you'll beat out Peter or the others and sit at my right and left hand." Of course, that wasn't Jesus' answer. Instead, he talks about how, first of all, this kind of sitting at the top of the pyramid, so to speak, wasn't his responsibility to give. And he talked about what it takes to get there. And one of the things he said is, you know how it is amongst the Gentiles. Now, when we hear Gentiles, we hear non-Jews. At that time, he could have as easily said, you know how it is in the Roman Empire. And you probably do know something about the Roman Empire, about the Caesar and all that extensive empire that had been created through conquest, through savvy, through military prowess. And at the top set Caesar, and then I guess you had the Senate, and then you had the citizens, and you kept going down further and further away from power and authority until you got to the bottom where you had the children and the women and the slaves and the servants. And one of the kind of primary characteristics about trying to gain power, kind of get ahead or move up the pyramid, so to speak, was patronage. You found somebody that was higher up that you somehow ingratiated yourself to, which meant you either had some money that you could provide them or some access to other influential people or somehow could make them look good. Somehow you made yourself important to them. And if you were in their good graces and they kind of took you under the patronage, and not only did they benefit from you, but you also got to benefit from your association. So you kind of hear that it's a very hierarchical system. And so to get ahead, you tried to move up. To have more power, you tried to move up. To have life be better, you tried to move up. And Jesus said, you cannot be like the Gentiles. You cannot be like the Roman Empire. My kingdom is very different. My kingdom, instead of being a power over, is instead a power that comes from the source and from within. And the church has struggled with that, with kind of understanding that, because for many centuries, and we're still kind of the residual effects, there's kind of a hierarchical shape to the church. Now, granted, God is put at top. And then you have Jesus, you know, God and Jesus up there. And then you start having folks that are respected as being holier and working its way down. That is not, you kind of hear the kind of Roman Empire kind of structure to that. Again, hierarchical. And so if we see God as having power over us, then of course what there is to do is fear God. But God, over and over, as revealed in Jesus, is not interested in having power over enforcing. At the heart of God is love. At the heart of God is forgiveness, is grace. God's desire for us, instead of creating a kingdom that has more power over and kind of imposes its rule, instead is a kingdom that grows from within, from amongst. And so instead of talking about how we can move up and move ahead, which is kind of what James and John were talking about. How do I move up in your kingdom, God? Instead, I think it's helpful to think about getting closer to the source and participating in what the God of the universe is up to here on earth. And so there's some questions then that emerge from that. Questions like, how can I be more loving? How can I have more love around me? How can I help create more love in this world? Or instead of more happiness, shift a little bit. How can I have more joy and also create in more joy? How can I be more patient, and how can I create more patience and peace around me? How can I be more compassionate and have more compassion present in the world? How can I be more kind and have more kindness present in the world? More generosity, more faithfulness, more forgiveness, more self-control, kind of taming those things within us that want to get ahead, that want to have power over, that want to have more wealth, that want to have things be more comfortable, that want the world to work the way we want it to work. These are the kingdom questions that Jesus points us toward. Because all of those questions about having more love and more joy and more peace, more patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and forgiveness and self-control, those are questions about how can we be of service to the world. And there is a huge faith element in this. Huge. Do you trust that by being a follower of Jesus, by choosing to serve the world, serve as many people, to make as much of these gifts of God present, do you trust that that gives life? That is Jesus' proclamation to us. If you follow me and in essence give your life away, you'll receive life. And it's trusting that life is a life of joy and love and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and generosity and a life of service to the world. If you want to be great, the Greek word is mega, then be somebody that's about mega love and mega kindness and mega peace and mega joy. Follow Jesus. Now, that all sounds great. But remember before this story, Jesus talked about what it took, was going to take for him to do what he needed to do in service for the world. It's not easy. When you start living a different way, it starts challenging the ways that the world work, and it tends to kick back. That's where it takes the trust. Trusting in Jesus' words, follow me and you will have life. Let us pray. God, transform our hearts. Help us to recognize when we're not seeking you and chasing after other things that seem to promise life. Fill our hearts, our actions, and our lives with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, generosity, forgiveness, and self-control. Amen.